Two, one. Three, two, All right, what is up, guys? Welcome back to the HQMA Hour podcast. This is the first episode. Episode one. We're here.
Welcome back to it.
Yeah, I mean, shit, welcome back. All right, but yeah, we're just going to keep going from here. But yeah, so previously, late night shots. That either will or will not be going on anymore. I don't know. We have a new group of people now. It's just going to be me and Nico today running this. Hopefully, we will have Gordon DeSanto 133, Logan, all I see is memes, or Jesse Porter, Adam Gusky, defensive end, depends. Who's on at all? We don't know yet. So it's just going to be us today. We're just going to be doing a quick one. We say 15 minutes, it's probably going to be about an hour either way. So we'll say that. Yeah, HQMA Hour episode one. Yeah, Nico, you can get started. Introduce yourself again for the first time in the series. Nico.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I am Nico, the founding sole owner of Wrestling Meme Page and, you know, the best meme page on Instagram.
Because I don't make memes anymore. But, all right, now that we get into this, we had just a couple things planned for today. You know, we all wanted to get Jesse Porter on to talk about the Greco side of things, because I know a lot of you are fans of Greco. I think really all I can speak on is 97 kilos and 130 kilos for Greco. So I'm not going to talk about this without Jesse. I don't know if we can really talk about this, but he may be able to do a preview for the finals for us. So the big thing we want to talk about, they started yesterday, Joe Rouse tweets towards John Stefanowicz. That's a big thing that we want to get into. You know, mixed opinions on this. I think we both came to an agreement that we're on Joe Rouse's side right here. Mm-hmm. So, Nico, you can, you know, start us off just explaining the basis of what happened.
So, if you didn't watch the Olympic team trials, Joe Rouse and Stefanowicz, in their first match, Joe Rouse was in on a few exchanges where it was going his way and it was stopped quickly by the ref. And there were a few other instances where where it went Stefanowicz's way, where it really kind of either shouldn't have or would have gone Joe's way. And Joe made the connection that the ref is a Marine and Stefanowicz is on the Marine club team. I forget the name of it. And he made attempts to have it overturned, which USA Wrestling pretty much defended the ref through and through, giving him awards, in fact.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe he came down because he was a Marine, all that, you know, that's, no, throw that out the window for now, but basis of it, Stefanowicz was tacked. You know, I know people comment on under the post saying, oh, it should be deleted and all that bullshit. It's like, at the end of the day, you can say it's not that deep, but this is the Olympics. This isn't some random fucking high school tournament, right?
I still talk about matches I got screwed in high school.
Yeah, like, but, I can imagine falling short there. Right. this it's the fucking Olympics. Like, it is 100% that deep. Like, there's nothing to say about it. Like, this would have been his last shot to go, right? That's just never going to happen. Nothing can change that. And, you know, it's not like, this is not comparable to Zane versus Yanni, where the official just made a shitty call. There was pure facts to back it up that the official had a connection with them. And he was screwed over multiple times in the arbitration process. You know, I said I don't agree with arbitration. Right now, but that was for the Zane Yanni case. Official makes a shitty call. That's what it is. You lost it. You know, that comes and don't leave the hands in officials match. You know, however, at that level, yeah, arbitration, do whatever the fuck you want. That's up to you. Now, here, obviously, there's literally no argument for Stefanowicz. You know, everybody saying get over it is like, all right, like, fuck you. That's really all it is. No, you saw a couple world team members defending Stefanowicz. As they have to, whether they actually agree with them or not, you know.
I don't think there were as much defending Stefanowicz as they were just not agreeing with him still talking about it.
Yeah, you know, obviously, I don't think it's just because he was talking about it. I think, obviously, he didn't come off about it in the most respectful manner. You know, obviously, he was like, fuck you.
Definitely, Yeah, he was coming for heads.
It's like, yeah, but yeah, at the end of the day, nobody's going to see it in the viewpoint that he does. It's like, you have to imagine yourself in the situation, not as an outsider looking in, right? Put out multiple posts on it. It's like, yeah, like if I was in this position, fuck Stefanowicz too, right? At this point, it's like, yeah, I'd like to see him succeed because he's our guy going to Rio, going to Tokyo. Right? So it's just multiple sides to it, you know? You know, it just is what it is.
I definitely agree with Joe and all, but my one thing is at this point, like it's been through arbitration, like nothing is going to happen.
Yeah.
Comments on Twitter and Instagram.
It may be just him just ranting, you know, maybe he needs to get it out. Honestly, it's like, just let the man do what he has to do at this point, you know?
I'm not speaking ill on him. I'm just saying,
yeah,
like it objectively, it's not going to have an effect.
Yeah. No, that it just kind of is what it is right now, but it's not much to say about it, right? So I think that's all we'll really talk about this. I don't think there is much more to say. That's another reason why we did want to bring in Jesse to talk about this. Obviously, a guy who's, I think, is trained with both of these people. I know it's like, at the end of the day, people are talking. It's like stick up for yourself, like. Like, people are mad at it because the dude stood up for himself and said something about it. It's like, all right. So, next topic of discussion, Penn State heavyweight, former Penn State heavyweight, now looks to be playing football at Penn State, Seth Nevels. You know, I'm obviously the Nevels family. No newcomers to Penn State, you know. They've been there for a while. Seth did, unfortunately, lose a starting spot to Greg Kirkfleet. It was expected. I don't think anybody really expected anything different. You know, Nevels is a four-time California state champion at heavyweight, probably one of the most dominant California wrestlers ever. That was putting up there, you know, with guys like Ian Martinez, Evan Wick. You know, let's played football until his senior year. I was told just to focus on wrestling, obviously transition to college. I think, you know, first glances, I think it's the best thing he could have done, right? Because we don't know what's going on. We don't know if he just didn't feel the need to wrestle anymore, you know. Like,
I mean, if you know this now, right? Athlete,
huh? Yeah. See, like, if you were to put in the shoes, like, you win a national title, and you had the chance to go D1, would you do it? Chances are not. Yeah, you would.
Right. Oh wait. What were you saying?
Like, let's say, just me personally. If I win a D2 national title and I have the opportunity to go D1, chances are I
would. Oh, D2 title. Oh, yeah.
Or D3, NAIA. I mean, NAIA is probably a little bit different, but if I win national title, I most likely just wouldn't transfer schools at this point because I've been there for so long. It's what it is, right? He's a good-ass football player. There's no denying he was a big fucking heavyweight. You know, obviously a guy who had to cut a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Bulks up to 300, a little bit over. Maybe, you know, he could get on the starting line a couple years. You know, obviously we saw this with a couple guys. You know, back my senior year, Nash Hutmacher from South Dakota. You know, now he's in Nebraska. He quit. Number one heavyweight in the country, right? He quits wrestling, goes to play football. He's like 330 pounds with six-pack abs. And it's just, you know, a demon, honestly. So, yeah. I think he'll be successful, you know, right? Just same thing as Adam Kuhn, right? Elite athleticism combined with elite size. Obviously, you don't need as much athleticism or as much size at the college level. But, yeah, what do you got to say about it?
I was starting before. If I were a two-sport athlete like that and I didn't have my spot in one sport, knowing that I wouldn't get it, I would try to focus more on the other too. Like, it makes sense.
Yeah, and especially in a position like that, because I know it's like, oh, it just seems like he's kind of given up on wrestling. But at the end of the day, you have to realize, just from what I've seen, Kirkfleet just outclasses him as an athlete and a wrestler. You know, this is a guy who's going to be going with Gable Steveson, most likely in the national finals next year, and for the world team spot if Gable decides to stay. I can confidently say there's a good chance he does take the national title next year in the world team spot if Gable leaves. So, you know, Kirkfleet's no stud, right? Neville's very well could have been All-American. He has a win over Tate Orndorff, who placed eighth, and Greg Priffley placed seventh, so theoretically you put him at number seven. However, that being said, you got to get on the lineup to place. And that's just things we saw, right? Going back to his older brother, Nick Neville's, and Anthony Cassar, know what happened. Cassar bumped up from 97, went heavyweight, took the spot. No, Cassar won. There was no – he just won, right? You could also go as far to say that Neville's would have been the guy in the national finals against Gable if Cassar didn't go. Right.
Yeah, you never know how close that is in the practice room.
Yeah, and that could completely change a bunch of things, right? Because we could be looking at that and it's like, right, and that could have convinced Gable to say, oh, I'm staying, I'm being a four-timer. Hmm. Now it's like, he can't be a four-timer no matter what. One, you're taken away to COVID. One, he plays third. Yes. Be a three-timer. Yeah, that's cool. You know, but it's like, if he takes Olympic gold or any Olympic medal in general, it's like, it comes to a point where it's like, okay, I've achieved as much as I need to. I'm going WWE. I have this ticket value on my name. And let's just go.
Wasn't there something going on with him and MMA?
Yeah, I know there was. I genuinely just can't see that happening. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. If he goes MMA, he goes MMA. He's just going to need more time.
They said something was signed. I'm not sure what exactly.
Yeah, I think that's just more.
I didn't really look into it.
I think that was more just a brand deal or something like that. If there is, you know, we will make another episode on it because that's pretty fucking big. But I did not see too much about that yet. So I don't know what to say. Yeah, that's really it about that. I don't know. But yeah, overall, the Neville's take, I think, you know, get him in the weight room, get him in all this, get him big as shit. I think he can be a star by junior year. That's bold on my part. But he'll be a starter by junior year.
Not really know Penn State football too good. Or any
I don't either, I'll be honest. But yeah. Big matches in Tokyo. You know, obviously we all saw that UWW troll account come out with a bunch of fake brackets. No, Gilman versus Guyev, round one. Bajrang versus Haji Aliyev. Mm-hmm. Round one, Rashidov versus Odeguro. Sidkov versus Dake. Taylor versus Yazdani. Snyder versus Mohamedian. And Taha versus Gable. Basically just a shit on this. And, it was pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, let's go over some actual big matches that could go down. So, Guyev versus Mitrich, 1-2 seed. Is this the biggest one? I don't think so, but this is the projected final. So if this final were to go down, I would personally take Yugi of the Russian in that just because of how it went down beforehand. However, that's not my projected final. I would say Zavor Yugoyev versus Yuki Takahashi, who is the Japanese rep. He did defeat Rio silver medalist Rei Higuchi in the wrestle-off. I think 4-2 it was. This might be a bold call on my part, but I do think if there's any time for Japan to take over wrestling, it's going to be now. Obviously, we've all seen that Japan has dominated women's wrestling forever. It's hard for me to see that's over, especially with the Olympics in Japan. You know, you go, which was the most dominant country in wrestling in 2016? Everybody wants to say it's Russia, it's Cuba, because Lopez, all this. You know, I know Yoshida lost to Helen Morales, but, you know, she's still a three-time Olympic champ. And Kiyori Icho made history in Rio, claiming her fourth Olympic gold medal. So, it's like...
Japan's always really dominant.
It's hard for me to believe that Japan doesn't pick up at least a couple golds, especially with where it is. You know, that people say it's not going to play any factor. It 100% is. I do think if Takahashi gets a good seed, which I don't know what the seeds are at the moment right now, hopefully they come out soon. They might be out by the time we post this.
Someone said they come the day before that weight starts.
That's pretty stupid. I don't like that. But, you know, it is
what I saw. I don't know how.
Yeah, I think the only matchups I really would be mad if they happened are Taylor versus Yazdani, Dake versus Sidkov versus Chimizo.
I could 100% see Taylor and Yazdani going down first round. Again. Just because I feel, feel like.
I think we dodged a bullet at 97. Snyder is guaranteed on the opposite side, Sajulaev. However, if he pulls Mohammadian or Sharifov, that's where problems come into this. Or Saratov also. Taha and Gino, we know. You can say whatever you want. Gable can beat them, whatever. It's not a draw anybody wants. Those are just the facts of it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, let's go back to 57. If Takahashi can put them together, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins it. Right? Mm-hmm. Now we can go to 65 kilos. Your top two seeds are Gazmurad, Rashidov, and Bajang Punya. You know, you have Hajiliyev from Azerbaijan, Tavanyan from Armenia, and Takuro Otaguro from Japan. Again, you know, we talk about it. Otaguro was not that far behind Rashidov, you know. Could he clutch up and let them go two for two just to lead off? Right? Because if you look at it, they don't have any real competitors in the rest of men's freestyle. Mm-hmm. 74, we all know it's Dave Chimizo Sitikov. 87, it's Taylor Yazdani, maybe Nifonov coming in through. You know, 97, that's a battle of Saji Live, Mohammadian at the top, Snyder and Sharifov, maybe Konyedo from Italy, and a bunch of other guys at 97. Heavyweight most likely to be about between Taha and Gino, who can get done, then Zare and Gable for whatever. Or, you know, maybe somebody pulls an upset, but.
It's wrestling.
Japan. Like, it's hard for me to pick against Otaguro. I will take Rashidov over Bajang. Depending on the brackets, I do think Otaguro is going to get placed on Rashidov's side of the bracket. Mm-hmm. But that is what I'll take. You know, it hurts me to say Bajan's going to lose. You know, I do think if he ever puts it together, it's going to be now, though.
The last time he wrestled Otaguro, he lost to him.
Yeah, I know. I think he beat him, too, before. It just kind of depends on their matchups, right? You know, I do think – I doubt they're going to give Bajan Otaguro, though I just don't feel it. Yeah, I know it's random, but it just seems like they're kind of throwing a lot of guys to the Russians right now. I do think Rashidov is going to be my choice no matter what happens, but no, that all comes to it. I was watching some, drilling footage of him today. You know, it was all these Russian wrestling pages. It was Russell Dagestan. And I saw Rashidov was looking good. You know, he's typically considered one of the weaker links on the Russian team. Him and Yuguyev, obviously, you know, we have the hammers at Sajulayev and Sitikov right there.
I mean, he's considered on the Russian team is still pretty strong.
Yeah. But, yeah, now as we go to 74, you can spin this whatever way you want. You can say, oh, we have beat the best. Again, I've said this multiple times. You don't want Zidkov round one. You don't want Dake round one. You don't want Chibis to round one. You know, to put these guys against each other, just by saying Dake's going to beat him doesn't justify anything. You know, because Russians are looking at this the same way. It's like, this is not a draw you want. Italians, Cubans are looking at this the same exact way. This is not a draw you want. You know, I've said it. I do think Chibis is going to win. People are going to hate me for that. I know mostly everybody has either Dake or Zidkov. You know, this is a gamble on my part. You can either go very well or very bad. I do think that if Chimizo loses, it's going to be Dake, though. I don't think Sitikov's winning it. I've said that. But, yeah, you can talk about it. I've been just ranting for a while.
I've got nothing to say with international. But I might be speaking with emotion. I've said it before. Dake's definitely hungry. He wants it. Like, he's been held off the team for so long, and now here he is at the Olympics. So, and he has the win over Chimizo before. Even it was close, but that was also it was beat the streets, right?
It was the event where Taylor teched Miles Martin. It was like a random flow card. See, the thing for me about that one is it was up a weight class too.
Mm-hmm.
Where
it was Dake, up a weight class, but it was also it didn't really matter. So I feel like neither of them were really throwing everything they had into it.
See, yeah, that, and you have to realize going up a weight class was going to hurt Chimizo more than Dake. Mm-hmm. You know, it's obvious because Dake had the upper hand coming into that match. I heard people talking Dake is going to take Chimizo. Dake is going to do this, this, that. Look at that match. Chimizo dominated. The scoreboard doesn't show the same thing, but Chimizo won that match. If you just positional-wise, right? How did Dake win? Garbage. That's really what it is. Can he stop that, and can he continue to manufacture points, right? We know how good Dake's defense is. The two people that can get past, that have the ability to get past it, are Sitkov and Chimizo. It's just a matter of if they will or not. If Chimizo gets in on Dake's legs, I'll write that off for 2 points or at least one. Sitkov gets in, we'll see. You know, I don't think Dake's, you know, you can talk about Dake bombs all you want. I don't think Dake's foreign Chimizo. And as I'm going to fucking eat my words so bad, he's going to get fucking launched.
He wrestles close matches with the big guys. Like, you don't see him trying to throw up big points against Burrows. He kept it real close with him.
Yeah. It's how do you beat Chimizo? Who's done it consistently? Jordan Burrows. How has he done it consistently? Speed. What's Burrows' main moves? A double leg. What can't you scramble out of? Double leg. You know, we know Dake's a defensive guy. It's going to be interesting to see. That's really all I can say, you know. Yeah. I genuinely hate making picks because, you know, obviously your picks are never going to be purely based off stats. They're sometimes going to be based off emotion. And if it's kind of whatever. Oh, yeah, I know your pick is Dake. You know, I would be happy if Dake wins. If Dake takes bronze, that's only going to hurt Burrows even more. It's like if Dake dominates his way to gold. I
don't think about that.
Yeah, nah, it is what it is, man. At this point,
for Burrow's sake, I hope Dake wins it. I hope he texts everybody in the bracket.
It also comes to that as like, where? How could a Burrows done in this bracket? Would a Burrows placed? I don't want to be that guy, but I think Burrows was behind both of them. It's just a matter of Dake can get past them too right now. Because it's like, what you have to realize, like, I know you said he's hungry. I'll make a quick point on this. Sitikov will most likely not have that spot in 2024. That's what's so crazy about Russia, is they're so deep, these weights. It's like, it's hard. Like, 2016, it was Gudiev, and now it's Sitikov. Gudiev is good. And Gudiev in 2016 would have came in and mopped the floor with Kyle Day, too, mopped the floor with David Taylor. But he loses to you. He gets gassed out by Yazdani, ironically enough. You know, and, you know, that's what's showing me. Like, people are leaning towards Yazdani. It makes me feel like maybe they're not too crazy just thinking about it from an objective standpoint instead of, like, an opinionated standpoint. Like, I don't know how to really explain that. If Yazdani doesn't gas out, he can very well win that match. Like, I know people are taking Taylor as, like, just Taylor for granted there. It's like, I don't know. You know, that's a good segue into 86. But
yeah. From like the shit I talk and like the comments, how I always bring up 2-0, 2-0, like that doesn't guarantee a 3-0 again, you know? Mm-hmm. As much as I make it seem that way when I talk to the Iranians.
And like as we talk about this, that 2-0 doesn't mean shit. What matters is what happens at the Olympics.
Yeah.
You go back to a guy like Arthur Tamazov from Uzbekistan. He took plenty of losses in Worlds, all these.
Like,
three goals at the Olympics. One silver.
Taylor and Yazdani at Worlds, what was that, 3 years ago because of the year off?
Which one? When we pinned him, I think, was 3 years ago. The one where he
first. No, I thought he pinned him when they were, like, young.
Yeah, see, when he pinned him, it was, like, 86 was weak.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think Yazdani was being Sharifov, and Sharifov was, I think Sharifov was at 92. At that point, just scrapping with Saji Live when Saji Live was bulking up. It's like, you know, it's like, I think we're writing down Taylor for the win just because there's nothing showing me otherwise. But if he pulls Yazdani first round, that's a bad draw for Taylor.
He'd rather see him later on.
I do think that Taylor's people underestimate Taylor's gas tank. Right. Mm-hmm. Every time Taylor has lost a match, it's been early. Except for Burrows, obviously. That's what Burrows is known for, sprints at the end of matches. Mm-hmm. You've seen him lose matches. He loses them with early takedowns. Right. Kyle Dake matchup, he came out early. He got tired. He didn't really get tired. Just kind of got points put up on him. Bubba gets pinned. International matches, you know, it's just that. You look at his match with Yazdani. Yazdani's putting up points early. Mm-hmm. Like, it looked like Yazdani was dominating. And, you know, who's to say Yazdani doesn't put up five quick takedowns or takedown and four mm-hmm. quick guts and just ends it?
Yeah.
And do I think that's going to happen? No, I hope not. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
From what we've seen, there's no particular reason to think that.
But yeah, I just
that can happen.
And from what I'm seeing, also, there's no reason. Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to really count Yazdani out, though. Like, I know people are, but people are acting like Yazdani didn't win two world titles and a whole ass Olympic title. Mm-hmm. Taylor doesn't have an Olympic title. Same thing with Chimizo. People are a 1-point loss can very well go the other way. Like, next time, that's something people forget. Just kind of write off date to dominate the next time. Being realistic, that's probably not going to happen. 97. You know, let's talk about something most people don't want to admit. Snyder got lucky in 2017. Snyder got lucky in 2017. As much as you want to say it would go the other way, it would have went the other way in 2019. It would not have. Snyder got lucky.
I don't want to say luck, but it
would. I don't want to say lucky, but like.
Fate was definitely leaning towards Snyder because Sajulayev was going up in weight. He was trying to challenge Snyder because it was, you know, one.
You know, props to Sajulayev. Like, that shit takes balls to do. Like, there's nothing else to say about that. And he knows he would mop the floor with 86, right? Mm-hmm. Or 92 for that matter. Snyder got a last. Snyder got a late takedown. You know, I hate being this guy, but you know, let's walk through it. Like, I love Kyle Snyder. I don't want to be like that, but Snyder was the worst out of the six Olympic champs in 2016. That's just how that is, right? You know, you got the best, Sajulayev, Suslan Romanov from 65, Yazdani, Kanchegishvili. No. So Romanov, Taha, Chekishvili. Right. And then we have Sajulayev there. We have Snyder shit, my bad. But, you know, obviously that doesn't mean much, but you saw people going 86 was more populated weight, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't even put Jaden Cox in the mix because he was so new back then. But now Jaden Cox is a good win, right? Then you have Sharifov there, Sajulayev there. Sajulayev dominated that bracket. Right, and those are going to be some of the same guys back in 97 this year. Obviously, Mohamedine was suspended for PEDs at that point. You know, we saw what happened in 2018. It just comes through that Americans are going to write that off as a fluke. Which, you know, maybe it was. Maybe the pin was, but...
It's easy to write off a pin because they just kind of happen.
It also comes to the fact that Sajulayev has reaffirmed that he is the guy in 97 to beat every single event he has gone to. He has not lost. He was injured and he has not lost. That's the thing. Snyder, on the other hand, he's like, people want to gas it up like he's losing to nobodies, when in realisticness, he's losing to good ass guys. Mohammadi, and again, I will say it again and again, he could have very well been the Olympic champ at 86 kilos and upset Sajulayev. I will not count that out. Sharifov isn't already Olympic champ, right? You know, this is when I think Varner was at 97, Sharifov 184. Before Varner was at 96. It's before the weight change, actually. He won it, you know? And that's probably one of the craziest Olympics. Burroughs 174, Sharifov 84, Varner 196, Tamazov 125, whatever it was. One of the more stacked Olympics, you know, I think Kachekishvili made the finals at 57. Just like London Olympics is obviously was just the Olympics, like, you know, of our lifetime that we've seen. You know, yeah. As damn, I'm like a whole ass adult now. That's crazy too. But like now that I think about it, I remember we were talking about it, so it's just like damn. But yeah, just into that, you know, I don't see myself picking against Saju live.
Yeah, he's
if he loses,
if you're betting money, he's a smart bet.
Yeah, even with those negative 225 odds, I don't see myself betting against Saju live.
That's how you cover your losses at other weights.
Yeah, like honestly, I've said the smartest bet probably Tamara. Mm-hmm. But you know, it is what it is. I will say it again, she's the most dominant wrestler in the world when it comes down to it. Then Saju live, but Saju live, I'll still put down pound for pound best just going into it. You know, I'm not even going to respect the argument that Dake would beat Saju live, like the bullshit this kid said in my TikTok set comment section. He's like, oh my god, this kid better hope he doesn't beat Taylor or Dake. I'm like, oh my god. It's like, do you like, not realize how big Saju live is? Saju live is bigger, one, faster, so and bigger. Stronger. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. He literally has Jordan Burrow speed. Like it is scary. I'm like, I'm not even exaggerating at that point. Like, he can scramble, and people don't talk about how technical he is. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's just, like, he will gut you. Like, the thing is, like, I don't know what it is. Like, I was looking at this today, too, going back to Russian, big-ass fucking Russian people. Have you ever seen a picture of Karelin where he's making like this tough guy face, like flexing? Mm-hmm. It's always him like smiling.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know why, but that shit was scarier than anything.
The only one I can think where he's not like, or the only one I can think where he is like that is like the, you know, the one famous picture where he's like,
obviously that's a big ass dude he's trying to make, but like. You look at him, and he's wrestling Matt Gaffari, like our guy in the 1996 Olympic Finals. He has this dude just casually lifting. He's smiling. He's like, the fucking get. I'm like, yo, you know, that it. I don't know what it is, but that just shows how badass he actually was.
He's an absolute freak.
Like, yeah, like.
In every positive way.
Yeah, like. You know, honestly, that just speaks towards legacy of Rulon more. Like. It comes to the point, like, I know why I say this every time, but, like, Rulon's legacy deserves to be there, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think, but it should not overshadow what Karelin has done. Mm-hmm. That's mainly what I say about, like, I don't agree with, like, oh, it's fuck Rulon Gardner. That's bullshit, you know?
Like, Karelin's definitely the GOAT, but, like, Rulon's still the GOAT slayer. Like, he took him, like, he beat him.
Yeah, we talk about Marula so highly because she beat Yoshida. We talk about Brand Slay so highly because he beat Satya. Then we just say, fuck Rulon, right? Mm-hmm. Just because the dude's life just fucked him over afterwards, right? He went he ended up on The Biggest Loser, snowblacks, and lost a couple of toes. It's like.
I didn't know he was on The Biggest Loser, and I was like trying to look up pictures of him one day, and I pull up like all the pictures of that.
Like, oh, he was on like I genuinely watched it because he was on, and it was just like, wow. Like after actually talking to the dude for a little bit, you start to realize it's like people from the outside, how little their what they say actually matters there, and it's just like, damn. Like if you actually. Look through just like half of the shit that dude's actually been through, like it's fucking insane. Like, you know, I don't even know. It's just something else. But yeah, like enough of me going off about that. 125 kilos, you know, the American Gable Stevenson will be looking to crash this bracket, you know, possibly take home a gold medal of his own. Whatever he does there, he does. I genuinely don't know what to tell you. Same thing with Amir Zare from Iran. He's going to be looking to do that. You know, people going to talk about Zare like he has no chance, but the way Americans look at Gable Stevenson, Iranians look at Zare. That's how that is, right? But you know how crazy Iranian fans are about wrestling. But I think at this point, I do agree that Taha and Gino are number one and number two until proven otherwise. You know, how I think that matchup will go. I think
Taha is the returning Olympic champ. Like,
I think Gino's beaten him at Worlds every single year. However, I will say this. What other countries do very well that we do not do is peak. That's why Penn State dominates, because they know how to peak. You know, and that's why Iowa doesn't, because they're always consistently good.
Watch it now.
Like, you put Iowa right here. Penn State might start off here. Then they're always going to peak at the end. Iowa may just be gradual. That's all it really is, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see with other countries. I will say, out of a heavyweight, Taha Gul has the highest peak out of anybody in the world. Mm-hmm. And Shimizu. If they peak, it is over. That's what I will say. I genuinely think if Shimizu wrestles like how I know he has in certain events past, he will take home gold. If Taha Gul brings his A game and he hits a peak, he will run through that bracket. You're
saying Shimizu?
Yeah, I said Shimizu.
Oh, I didn't. I was confused.
Like, genuinely, like, have you seen Shimizu wrestle? Like, you see sometimes he's out here losing on ranked guys. He's out here. Mm-hmm. Looks like he was bullying Jordan Burroughs until Burroughs came back, right? If he can put this together, he's going to dominate that bracket.
Yeah.
If he pulls in his A game, I think he's dominant. He's not going to have a match closer than 5 points. We saw that when he beat Gino 6-1. Again, fuck UWW. Fuck whoever is doing that. That match should have not been in the first round of Euros. Literally two of the greatest heavyweights of all time put them together. But do what you got to do. Let one of them hold the bronze. You know, I don't agree with that, especially with true second, with no true second, which just kind of seems like bullshit to me.
Yeah.
You know, as we talk about that, right?
I think true second should always be an option if you both lost to the winner. Like,
I don't agree in the Olympics, but I think they should see the entire bracket, at least if they're not going to have a true second.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. That's why. Yeah.
Neither.
That's why I'm a fan of the two bronzes, at least for that. Mm-hmm. But the Olympics is obviously more important of an event than Worlds or some Euro bullshit.
I'm not as sure about the two bronze. Like, that never made sense to me. I always thought just have them wrestle. Like, you got the two.
Yeah, I guess.
It just seems like you're stopping just one level early.
I think it might have something to do with the repechage coming in somewhere. Mm-hmm. I really don't know, you know, genuinely. It's kind of what it is.
I mean, I've never wrestled in a bracket like that, so the whole thing's pretty foreign to me.
Because you know how Yanni lost and wrestled back to win gold, and it's like, all right. Because they had a whole round robin earlier. Yeah, it's kind of just whatever, I guess. I think four people at a weight class just kind of makes it different. I don't know. You know, I've been an advocate for a 110 weight class and then make it 130 at the end, but you could see that, genuinely.
Oh, I'm not sure. I'm not the one to really ask about heavyweights and all that.
No, like 97 but kilos.
It definitely is a very big gap between.
Because who would be there, you know? No, that was kind of whatever. But if Taha does win, you know, a thing that has to be talked about, will he unlace them? Will he leave them on the mat? Mm-hmm. Most likely. You know, we already saw Vladimir Konchakovsvili retire. He got COVID, couldn't complete it. Last chance, you know, just to, you know, COVID ended that man's career. That's, you know, it's sad to see. You know, he's going to go down as one of the great, one of the better Olympic wrestlers ever, you know, silver medalist, gold medalist, couple-time world champ. He's proved what he needed to. You know, he came off, he lost to Yanni, he lost to Ironman, you know, not two great losses to have on your record. As a guy of that level, he retired. You know, another guy, Sharif Sharifov, will probably be putting them down. No, I think Geno has another cycle in him. Will Taylor.
Sorry, I was just trying to look up ages while you're talking about
Yeah, sure. I'm thinking about like Taylor's like 29, old. Right? Or Dake's 29.
I don't know. They're
it's like genuinely that may be a genuine question. Can he? Will he put them down after? Will he hang them up? I don't think Dake will, but let's just looking through names. So.
They're definitely at the age where you would get it. Yeah, Dake is 30. They're definitely age where you could see it. But like I've said before, they've been kept out of the world and Olympic cycle for so long.
Yeah. See, what I'm saying about Dake is I know nobody's going to expect it, but why is the only reason he's really kept wrestling the Olympic gold? And who's kept him from doing that for so long? Jordan Burroughs. Mm-hmm. He gets that gold. What else does he have to do? Because I doubt he's making it to 2024. Ending. It's a storybook ending. Like, people don't get that. Like, obviously, Burroughs didn't, you know. Taylor might, you know. The thing about this is it's only 3 years away, which is the better part. Paris is only 3 years away. Yeah. You know, I think Snyder's still going. You know, obviously Lopez is hanging him up. Arthur Alexanian, you know, bronze medalist in 2012, gold medalist in 2016. If he wins another gold, he's going down as an all-time great. He will hang them up, most likely. You know, I'd love to see him win a 97 kg in Greco. Lopez, I think, is the oldest competitor in the Olympics at 38 years old.
The one I've seen.
You know, if he wins gold, he's the GOAT. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm not debating that with anybody anymore. Mm-hmm. When Karelin lost to Rulon, he was 31. Lopez winning his third Olympic title was already older than that.
Mm-hmm. Just for his age, you got to give him points.
Just for his age. Like, that's something that's never been done before. Like, I know people, you know, genuinely, another thing I want to touch on is roids, right? People want to act like our guys haven't done shit either. That's pretty funny. It's like, look at our guys. Who's the most obvious guy that's probably on something? Kyle Dake.
Thanks.
Why do I say that? You know, TRT. Just hear me out. Either him or Jordan Burroughs. They're getting old. We got to keep up. You know?
TRT, that's testosterone, right?
Replacement, yeah. Like, it's still illegal, but. It is that. Obviously, first people's glance would think Gable just because he's fucking jacked. But at the end of the day, it's not really like that. Oh, something I did want to talk about, dude, is Minnesota put out a picture with Gable and Brendan Egham. Dude, Egham was fucking jacked. Low-key just looked as big as Gable. I don't know what it was. It was on, like, Minnesota wrestling Twitter. I was like, damn. But yeah, like, dude, I genuinely, the only things that will legitimately piss me off is if Taylor and Yazdani meet first round, or Mihan Lopez and Riza Kale meet first round. Those are the only two. Otherwise, honestly, I don't know.
I think there's definitely a lot of room for Dake to get screwed over in the seating.
There's really only two draws that could be bad. He's going to have to go through either Chamisa or Sidkov to the finals. Mm-hmm. You know, if he loses to somebody else, their question was answered right there. Mm-hmm. You know?
Nothing really. Again, though, like we said, you're going to have to wrestle them at some point, but you still just don't want to see him first round.
Yeah. It's like you could see Taylor was tense with that match with Yazdani first round. Mm-hmm. Taylor didn't want to wrestle Yazdani first round. Like, he won, but you could see he would rather. In the finals, he looks so much more calm. That's maybe a collection of obviously
Yazdani and Taylor especially Taylor versus Yazdani with them, because the gas tank is the number one thing in Taylor's favor there. So the later in the tournament you see him, the more worn down you get him.
And that's not to say Yazdani has a bad gas tank. It's also just to say that Yazdani was physically outsized. I'll go as far as say, you know, Snyder has a great gas tank, obviously, just because of how much cardio and shit he does. Mm-hmm. And to be able to move that, Snyder's jacked as fuck. To be able to pump that much blood through that much muscle, he's in good shape.
Yeah, I'm not saying any of them have particularly a bad gas tank. Yeah. Just and compared to the U.S. guys, we tend to...
Yeah, what I wanted to touch on is size, right? Mm-hmm. If Yazdani's 86, does he get gassed? I don't know. You saw the size we're on, because you're wrestling a 125, you're probably going to be fine. Mm-hmm. If you try to wrestle me and say you're bullying my ass around the fucking underhooks, right, you're going to get tired much quicker. You know, theoretically, you would think, okay, you want to tire me out to take me down. By doing that, I want to, theoretically, they'll say I don't just snap your face into the ground and just go front headlocks, whatever. You would tire yourself out more just trying to move me around with underhooks without the mat.
Down, yeah.
Yeah, and that's obviously what Iranians are known for, just their dominant underhook series. Iranian upperweights, at least, I don't give a shit about their lower weights, but yeah, that's just genuinely what they're known for, right? Muhammadian, Reza Yazdani, way back, you know, he dominated Jake Vardy. I don't even think he wrestled in 2016 or 2012. If he did, I don't think Snyder or Varner would have ever won it. But, you know, luckily he didn't. Time come that. Muhammadian right now, like, he teched Bo Nickel in the first period, teched Colin Moore in the first period, teched Ben Kyle Snyder. Like, he's there, you know?
Yeah.
People want to say, oh, Snyder's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming back. The fact is, Muhammadian's done more than enough to prove himself. And, you know, this may just be Iran's time.
He's got the better chance.
Yeah, 100%. This, like, as much as most of you guys are going to hate to say it, this may just be Iran's time to dominate. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to look at it from, again, an unbiased aspect. You know, this could be our time to dominate. 74, 86, 97 heavyweight. I mean, 86, 97 heavyweight. Fuck Dake right now, but... You know, 86 Taylor, 97 Snyder, 125 Gable. Iran's looking at this.
I think there's a good chance of either the U.S. or Iran really sucker punching Russia in some way.
Yeah, 100%. You know, you look at Iran's chances now. They have Yazdani there, Muhammadian, and Zaire. Like, Zaire is this prodigy who may come up and fuck shit up. See, I mean, Gable's this prodigy. Coming to fuck shit up. They're looking at it the same way we're looking at Gable. I think there's a clear talent gap with Muhammadian and Snyder, but Snyder's still an Olympic champ. There's three Olympic champs in that bracket. Obviously, people are going to be overlooking Muhammadian, the guy who hasn't really done shit so far. 86, there's an Olympic champ, two-time world champ, and then David Taylor is also a two-time world champ. You could say he would have been a three-timer, but again, I don't believe in saying that if he hasn't done it, no matter what the circumstances are. Mm-hmm. No, it's what that is. Yeah, you look at Russia's chances, right? They're not really existing except for Saju Live. You look at 86, they have Artur Nifonov, who's theoretically second tier to them, but also first tier compared to everybody else. 97, obviously, Saju Live. He's something special we've known there. And heavyweight, yeah, Sergey Kozarev. He could pull a miracle. He on the podium, he could pull something. You know, he was doing good against Ta in the Euro finals. Obviously, his length and pure size helped him until he started getting mad. He started getting bullied around late in the match, getting cautions, Taha screaming in his face because he smacked him. A bunch of crap like that, but...
I gotta watch that. I didn't see that.
it wasn't anything crazy, but it was a good match. You know, Taha, this guy's gonna have quick takedowns and then he's gonna kind of just chill, right? It's luckily, it's obviously something to watch out for. You know, I think people are gassing up Rush to a point where we almost forget that we're always looking up. We're never looking back. For the sense that there are people right on our ass. You know, this isn't, we see a guy dominate in our country where they're just going to dominate the world. Like there are other heads coming in. And then we tend to just shit on our own guys when they don't perform up to expectations. Like you were into wrestling more than I was in 2016. You could see how much shit Jordan Burroughs would get. Mm-hmm. For, you know, obviously, like he said himself, he didn't perform. You know, obviously he lost to Anyar Gudiev in the quarterfinals. That is what that is. You know, even as a gold medalist, sometimes shit doesn't go your way. But
yeah.
He got teched in the WrestleBacks by a guy from Kazakhstan, I think it was. There's obviously something to be said, you know. I will say you're nobody to critique that if you haven't been on that level. Right.
One thing I do want to say, it wasn't my take from it, but I did kind of look back and it kind of made sense. Mm-hmm. Somebody was talking about how he seemed almost concussed after the first match. He did take a few hits to the head at one point, and he kind of seemed disoriented and out of it. So that might have played in the WrestleBacks.
You know, it might have been that. You know, I don't think we'll know unless Burroughs ever said something publicly himself, which I don't think he did. He didn't look like that wasn't Jordan. That wasn't the normal Jordan Burroughs in that match. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
If it wasn't concussion, it was nerves or something. He wasn't him. Yeah.
You know, and you know, I'll be honest, he did that to himself with Gudiev. He pushed him first. People are gonna spin any way you want. Like, he pushed him first. You know, you did what you did, and you paid the price for it. You know, like, I get it, assert your dominance, but.
It's the Olympics. Burroughs is a bit of a bully in some matches, like kind of like almost in a mean way. Like in one of his matches with Taylor, he like flipped him up like after the takedown.
You can see because Taylor is getting mad. Mm-hmm. Like you can see when Burroughs comes to the point. Like you saw him versus Dakin that second match. There was something off. Mm-hmm. Right. He just kind of looked to not fight off takedowns as hard. And he was just kind of like, he was in his own head. That's like the best way for me to put it. I don't think Dave's getting into his head, but he knew, he always had that little bit of doubt that it may be the end. And I think that's what causes it to be the end. Like, I would not be surprised if Burroughs comes back next year and beats Dave. Like, it could happen.
Right? Yeah, like, there's an amount of pressure when you're the king and everyone's coming for your crown.
And he's held it off for over a decade. Like, people want to guess how they can all like and talk shit about Jordan Burroughs, but Burroughs dominated him for a complete amount of times. Like,
yeah, he had one of the most like impressive reigns.
We thought Burroughs was vulnerable after 2016, 2017. He does it in three matches against Scott Dake. He loses the first match. Then we saw a new level of Jordan Burroughs come out, and he did it right. You know, I don't know where we're going with this conversation, but it's kind of interesting to get into. Just talking about, you know, I think a big one people don't talk about is like, I'm obviously sure you've watched it. You know, you got Kyle Snyder versus Jake Varner, right?
I haven't seen that in a while, but I have seen it. Yeah.
Obviously, that was a big one, you know. Mm-hmm. And people kind of took it two ways. You know, Varner made the team 2015 over Varner. Snyder made the team 2015 over Varner, won a world championship. Varner's the Olympic champion, right? You know, it like Snyder being, you know, that's just what that is, right? And that just kind of set up the whole Cinderella start for Snyder. That's what people don't really look. Some people are either hung on to that in the sense that like, oh, Snyder's going to beat Saji Live, Snyder's going to do all this, Snyder's going to do all that. Or they just completely disregard it and look at Snyder. It's like, oh, he's lost to fucking nobodies and all this shit, which he really hasn't. You know, I've disproved that multiple times. It's like, oh, Cox should be our guy. And those people were probably the same ones that picked Bo Nickel to beat him at the World Team Trials, you know, which is like, no offense to Bo Nickel. Like, I love the dude. Like, I'm a Penn State fan. That was a joke. Anybody he picked. he was not being Jaden Cox. Like, I've said this before. Again, I love Jaden Cox. Humble ass dude, but. His fans probably the most toxic thing in the fucking world. Jaden Cox fans, Spencer Lee fans, and Gable fans. Like, at least the Sandal fans know it's for the fucking meme. But, like, these guys, like, Gable fans are the most toxic fucking thing in the world. Spencer Lee fans are just slurping on his dick so fucking hard.
Anyone that really rides for, like, a wrestler that hard is there.
Yeah. Something. It's like, you look at it and it's just like, all right. Cox is probably one of the most accomplished college wrestlers of all time, you know. Three championships and fifth place finish. You know, you saw he transformed into a different beast after that sophomore campaign. Snyder took him out in the semis. Morgan McIntosh took him out in the consolations. He placed fifth. Came back to just get shit done. You know, I don't believe he elevated himself to a new level after he got on to the senior level scene. I think he was there after that loss to Morgan McIntosh and Kyle Snyder. But this is the way people look at it because people don't give a shit apparently about an Olympic bronze medal. They are looking at Snyder weight class up who won it. You know, Snyder was like the golden boy of USA wrestling then after Burroughs didn't perform, right? You know, Molinaro lost to Chamizo on the match to place. Tarvell got
a lot of people don't really talk about that. How Molinaro was like right in there with Chamizo. Yeah. Like that was a close match too.
It shouldn't have been close. You know, like Chamizo was obviously younger at that point, but Molinaro's was underrated. You know, especially Molinaro's gauntlet run, dude, at the trials, taking out Metcalf, Logan Stieber.
I'm pretty biased. Like, I'm a big Molinaro fan. I watched him wrestle when he was, like, in high school when I was, like, a little kid. But, like,
yeah, like, dude, I'm from Jersey. That was
impressive.
That state final with Frank Molinaro and Jordan Burroughs just, like, ingrained in my head. Like, I was never big into wrestling in my freshman year, but I got so much into that. Like, even though I was ass, like, coming into that. But I've seen, like, every match there is to see, right? And then Metcalf, again, was, like, this – it was even like comparable to like fucking Voldemort when you like in Harry Potter, like when you compare that shit, he was like, he was feared, you know, like that's like, not a guy you want.
Even said he was scared of him. Like,
yeah, like he's not a guy you would want to wrestle. And Molinaro took him out. You know, Caldwell, I think, said it best. He's like, I broke him and Molinaro finished him. You know, I'll be honest, I don't like Brink Metcalf that much, but I know you're an Iowa fan, like so I'll let it slide. Yeah. Yeah, after Caldwell, you lost all respect. I don't think, you know, he's probably a chill dude, but after that, there's no coming back from that. Yeah, I agree with that, but you fucking tackled a dude during the backflip. It's like, I get that even if there was a second left in the match, it's like, at least keep your pride and just take the L like a man. Like,
that's the only reason I defend it, just because of the time left in the match.
Yeah, but
if he did the flip after, complete asshole, fuck him. But
yeah, it's like you. Yeah, but you have to, you know.
I agree. It's
like it makes you look.
It is an asshole move, but it's a bit more defendable.
it's a bit more defendable. Yeah, but like your pride's gone at that point. Like, you showed that you can't, like, how someone takes a loss shows a lot more than how they win. You know, you saw Gable being a complete jackass his freshman year. The guys, like, it would be the things that people would defend because they wouldn't pay close attention. They would look at, oh, he's beating his ass, do whatever the fuck you want. He's like, you see him pushing guys randomly, just like, guys get into referee position. He's like, oh, pushes them down. He's like, hey, move faster, some shit like that. And then he loses to Kassar. He's like, all right, good match, whatever. And he continues with it, you know?
Yeah. That's what I've said, though. Like, if the clock's running, you can be a dick. But with the in referee position and stuff, that's a bit much.
Yeah, he knew. You know, I don't agree with that, but it's cool. I guess. Like, I still don't agree with that, you know?
I mean, I was
like, I get if I were in that situation that Metcalf was in, I would want to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it for that sole fact.
I mean, sure. I know it's a dick move, I accept, but I think
like
I
would have
just because, like I said at the time.
Yeah, nah. If you looked at the announcers, though, they were biased, so. Like, Caldwell just needs to get off the mat. And stop celebrating, just be more professional. While Metcalf is the one who knocked him over doing a backflip, but you know, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, I'll let you have it. Oh, your dude still lost to a one-legged dude, and just remember that.
Let's not talk about that.
No. It's like, how are you gonna say that that's Nevin? It's like, come on, dude. Like take Gable Stevenson, chop off one of those man's legs, and I will gladly wrestle him. You think I can win that match?
No. One thing with it is, I do see how the advantage that people are talking about, because for one, it's a lot of weight that you're missing, and you still do have a leg. And also, if you do look at one point in the match, he goes for a switch, and there's no leg there for him to grab. Like, he just falls.
I was like, yeah. It's like it will favorite come back moment in the match. It will come back to my take is always fuck Iowa. But even when you talk about this, can all be countered by saying the dude walked out to the mat with crutches. Mm-hmm. He cannot walk. You lost to a dude who cannot walk.
Yeah, that one, I'm no longer in Iowa.
And you can spend whatever you want. Like, Matt McDonough was a good wrestler. Matt McDonough was not a nobody. Like, he went on to win national titles. Mm-hmm. He was the defending national champ. Now, Spencer Lee versus Brandon Courtney, on the other hand. I remember some dude said, oh, Spencer Lee said it's an advantage. He had no fucking shit. He wrestles for Iowa. It's like, yeah, I'd be defending my guy too. And he just beat a dude from Arizona State.
Like, I do want to kind of take back some of my words. I don't want to say it's just an advantage. Like, there's definitely advantage.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%.
More heavily on disadvantage, but you could see points where it did help him.
People tend to get, you have to realize, it's obvious you're going to have bias in every take you make against Iowa, and that's not any fault of yours. You're going to have bias for whatever school. It's like, I'm going to go all out and try to defend Penn State on that one. That one dual meet with us two was like, okay, if we had Kirkley, we'd have won. But we didn't. You know, that's kind of the end of the story of it. Hopefully you can't see these TikTok notifications popping up on my MacBook.
I don't see it.
Nah, just like in the recording. So I think it's recording the actual Zoom. They're just, I don't know how to turn them off.
Oh.
That means my shit's blowing up though. But yeah.
There's someone who's going to be listening to this like, oh, that was me.
Oh my God, that's crazy. But yeah, dude, it's just like, damn, looking back at this. Like, the crazy part is these are matches that happened before I started wrestling. And I've looked so much into them. And what's the other one? Those 2016 trials were rough for Iowa. Now that we look at it.
Yeah. I had to run back in my head. That was
did Daniel very bad for was Tony Ramos or... Tony Ramos was Iowa, right? So was Daniel Dennis. Yeah.
That was when he left Iowa. He left Iowa because of that. Because of the whole thing with him and Dan Dennis.
Yeah. Dude, Dennis had a hell of a run. Did he place? I don't think so. I don't think he was close.
I don't remember offhand.
57's always been a weaker weight for us. Mm-hmm. 57's literally just been the Iowa weight.
Yeah.
Cejudo in 2008. Yeah, the Brands brothers way back when. Who's 2012? Huh. Ramos maybe, right? Yeah. Was it Matt McDonough?
Hold on.
Dude, I haven't got by that far. I know Dennis 2016. You could, and it's Gilman now.
Me and Jamie, like Joe Rogan, look shit up.
Dude, imagine we just get like a whole ass
studio. Oh, that was Daniel Dennis.
2012.
Oh, 2012. My bad.
Yeah,
I was at 2016.
No, 2016 was Daniel Dennis. It's like, I'm telling you, that's all we would have Gordon do if he was with us. Just look shit up.
Sam Hazelwinkle? I haven't heard of him, to be honest. I feel bad for saying that.
Huh, interesting. Yeah.
What are some other
big moments in the Olympic trials? Damn.
Which one or any?
Just this one. I don't think I remember anything before this.
Obviously,
you can go back to John Smith or Bruce. That's like old. I think Rulon beating Matt Gaffari in the Olympic trials is huge too. people don't talk about the fact that Rulon wasn't even supposed to be on that team in 2000. It was supposed to be Matt Cafari, like, and he was supposed to face Carell again in the Olympic finals. Rulon knocked him off. Like, that was huge. A guy that was not a farm boy from Wyoming made an upset to make the Olympic team and knocked off the greatest wrestler of all time. You know, that's so fucking insane. Now that like, just keep thinking about it. It's just like, wow. And again, Rulon did in 2004 again against Jermell Byers. Like, after almost dying, getting like toes amputated, he made a comeback and beat Byers and made. And see, this is the one thing. Amputated? I think so. This is the one thing.
I don't know his full lore.
Which say I'll put down Rulon Gardner as American great for the sole fact. What he needed to do was prove that it wasn't a fluke. Him going back to the Olympics and picking up a medal in 2004 proved that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's why I put him there. Brandon Slay, on the other hand, didn't. You know, he won that, like, let's be honest, like, that gold medal. The guy pissed hot and he got the medal. I don't count that. Like, it's going to piss a lot of people off. Like, same thing with the Arthur Tomazov. Like, he lost two medals because of doping. I don't care. Whoever got their hand raised got their hand raised. That's what that is.
Really? That's your take on that one?
That's my take, yeah. Like, see, like, we talk about it different ways, right? Roiding at the senior level is who gets caught. If you roid at the cadet or junior level, fuck you. You're a piece of shit. U23s, I don't genuinely care.
I've always been really anti-doping. Like, to me, that kind of like taints your whole record, because then it raises the question, when didn't you get caught, you know?
Yeah, that's what we talk about. It's like, when people want to bring this up, like, guy like Karelin was doping, like, no shit. It's like, but let's not make it out to seem like a guy like Satiev was not, just because he wasn't this.
Oh, was Karelin doping?
He was on roids, obviously.
You think?
Like, you know, there's always going to be that chance he wasn't, but I'm pretty sure he was.
I know he was just like a freak from birth. Like,
yeah, he was. I think everybody was at that level.
He said he weighed like 14 pounds or something like that.
He was like 183 when he started wrestling in like sixth grade. There's always the chance that he wasn't, but his nickname was the Experiment.
Yeah, he might have just been a Russian experiment. Like, genetically from the get-go.
It's like, I will say that I think Satiev, like, even though he wrestled 74 kilos, 86 kilos, I do believe he was on roids too. Like, there's a lot of these Russians, like, even if they aren't the big ones, like Sajulayev, let's be honest, he's on something. Mm-hmm. Mohamedian's probably on something. Lopez.
I don't ever like to accuse if they don't get caught.
Yeah, see, like, that's what I'm saying.
Sajulayev does kind of have a roid look.
With, yeah,
like, just the way, like, his body's built.
It's the thing is, why people don't get caught. This isn't just you fucking injecting roids in the bathroom. These are some of the best doctors in the world experimenting on how to not get caught. These are countries threatening WADA testers to kill them if they come to their country to test. Right?
Like, when I made a meme about Russia doing drugs, I had like a Yakov Smirnoff joke in the caption. In America, you test your athletes for drugs. In Russia, we test our drugs for the athletes, or something like that.
They're not wrong. It's like, what's your excuse when an American gets caught? Are you just going to fucking disown them? Like, if Gable gets caught on roids, like, I'll be honest, I don't care. Like, I'll keep the same energy. It's not, I'm going to completely, the rest of a country is going to completely disown him. Just completely shit on
him. I want to completely disown him, but it does kind of make you raise an eyebrow, like I was saying.
It's because you have to realize, even when Russians, like, is Sajulayev being on roids his fault?
Not really with Russia. Like, they kind of...
Yeah, it's like, again, with Tomazov, like, really, was it his fault if your country forces it upon you? And that would take us back to Lopez's world titles they threw in 2015, 2011. It's like, is that really his fault? Like we saw Iran execute the guy Navid Afkari.
Yeah, that.
You know, because of something like that. You know, obviously, It sucks.
That was like, a bit different than the roids. Wasn't he like speaking up against the government?
Yeah, I think he did something like that. But like, these are things that will kill you over. This is not like those countries don't fucking play. That's what people have to realize.
Yeah.
And if it comes down to it, it's like, if Lopez, there was a lot of money behind those matches. If Lopez didn't throw that match, who knows what could have happened? You think Lopez is safe because he's like this big ass 6'6", 300-pound motherfucker that's like literally like the most jacked freaking nature you can imagine?
Bullets don't care about your weight class.
Bullets don't fucking care. like countries don't give a shit. Like you can be one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. They don't give a shit. Money is what they're after. That's all there is to it. It's like, now I'm going to look at Riza. Does that paint his? Like, that comes to the, like, that's who Lopez threw it to. Like, right? Riza Kayal, third greatest Greco-Roman wrestler of all, Greco-Roman heavyweight of all time from Turkey. You know, he's better than Taha Agul. It's not been obvious. Do those two world records, do those two world titles really count? Like, I obviously want to go with my own logic. I want to go with my own logic. Yeah. Like, I want to go with my own logic. Like, they count because he got his hands raised. But when I know pretty much for a fact that they were thrown and Lopez has dominated him so many times on other occasions, it's hard for me to say that. But it really doesn't matter in that sense, just in this sense, because look at Greco-Roman heavyweight. It's going to be Carell and Lopez and Riza. That's it. And then maybe you could throw a guy like Rulon later on. That's what it is, right? All right. Yeah. So, anything really more to talk about? Or?
Nothing in particular that I think we had on the docket.
Yeah, no, we kind of got off track. That's my bad. I was talking.
Yeah, but pretty
off
track.
That's a long ass time. But yeah, it was a good talk. I think the people will enjoy it. So, yeah. We renamed the podcast.
I think it picked up towards the end too.
So thank you guys for watching the HQMA Hour episode 1. This has been it. So thank you guys for watching. We'll see you guys again next time. Peace.
See you next time.